What does an MTV VJ and dating have in common? They are both responsible for creating two of the largest social media platforms in the world. According to backlinko.com, I don't know if they're reputable, there are over 464 million podcast listeners worldwide. Did you guys hear that? 464 million podcast listeners worldwide. A number that will grow to 504.9 million by the end of 2024. Crazy, crazy. YouTube can boast over 2 billion active monthly users. That is 460 million in India alone, making it the biggest market in the world. So what does YouTube and podcasting have to do with MTV and dating? Well, the creators of YouTube, Steve Chen, Chad Hurley, and Jawed Karim, I don't know if I'm saying that right. Forgive me if I'm not.
Jawed.
In a 2016 conference called South by Southwest, I guess.
Yes.
Co-founder Steve Chen revealed that YouTube was originally designed as a video dating website. You go, Chen. It even had its own slogan, tune in, hook up. That doesn't sound sketch at all. Anyway, YouTube was intentionally registered as a domain on February 14th, 2005, for the romantically impaired. That date is Valentine's Day.
I knew that.
Idea was for... good job. You get your...
I knew something was on that day.
Casanova card right there. The idea was for single people to upload introductory videos of themselves describing what they are looking for in a partner. This is my favorite part of this whole story. The three co-founders even tried paying $20 on Craigslist to any woman who agreed to upload a dating video on YouTube. 5 days from its release, no video had been uploaded on the platform. I wonder why. Determined to make it work, gotta give these guys A for effort, Chad, Steve, and Jawed, I don't know if I'm saying it right, decided to drop the dating aspect and open up to any type of video uploads. I think that was a good move on their part. In April 2005, YouTube uploaded its first official video, Karam's Me at the Zoo.
Yep.
And the rest, as they say, is history. The origin story of podcasting begins with a former MTV VJ named Adam Curry and a software developer named Dave Weiner, who were looking for a way to upload online radio broadcasts to an iPod. Any guys remember the iPod?
Yes.
Okay. I had a shuffle.
Oh, ooh,
I had shuffle. A classic.
Every day I'm shuffling.
Yes.
Okay. The term podcast actually comes from the two words iPod and broadcast. I bet you didn't know that.
I did, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't. Anyway.
I'm still stuck on what an MTV VJ is, though.
So VJ.
Oh, come on.
VJ for you Gen Zers and maybe millennials don't even know what this is. Video jockey. So back in the day when it was radio, they called them a disc jockey because they took the albums, the disc, and they would put it in. And so they were a disc jockey. Then video jockey, VJ. There you go.
That's did you have one?
Huh?
Did you have one?
An album?
No. Did you have a video jockey?
No. You only saw them.
It's a job.
Oh, yeah.
Like a DJ?
Yeah. VJ. If I personally had one.
Is that?
Oh, that's called if I
that's actually crazy.
Yeah, if I personally had a VJ, that's called imprisonment, and I could go to jail for that. You can't have one in your house. Anyway,
we hit our first cut of the.
All right, guys, this is the first episode of Still Loading. Yay! And no, this is not a dating site. This is not a dating site. We exist in the podcast and YouTube world for a different purpose, and we'll get to that in a moment. But first, we might want to start off with some introductions. And so my name is Chris, the guy that has been doing most of the talking so far, but that is about to change. Chris Williams, and that's who I am. I am host number one out of basically four. And my 4-3, I don't know.
Maybe 3.5.
Cut that 3.75, 25%. I don't know what's going on. This is going to be a lot of cutting here.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. I want to talk about the starters. Since this whole thing is about origins, you know, starting of a podcast, we're going to be getting in the testimonies later. So I thought it'd be fun if we kind of just took a minute to talk about saying who you are and your favorite superhero origin story. So I'll go first. Got to go with Batman. Batman's my guy, all right? I think Batman has one of the most memorable origin stories. Even if you're not in the comic books, you know this man's backstory. I'm pretty sure you know this man's backstory. Parents killed, he flips out, becomes a man in a bat costume, you know? It's a classic love story. I've ever heard one. Just kidding. But yeah, so, and the reason why is just because, man, I've always loved the fact that Batman is the type of superhero that he's able to fight crime without any superpowers. To me, that's the ultimate beast. That's ultimate beast mode you can do that. So
I think being rich is a
superpower. We always do that with the rich billionaire. Hey, yeah. But here's the thing. Yes, he is rich, but you still have to have the mind to be able to do what he does, regardless of if the money doesn't make him smart. He's like talented mentally. Honestly, come on. The money don't make him smart.
Yeah, sure. Right.
Okay. Be smarter.
Yeah, you're right.
You're right. Nobody wouldn't. I actually,
if I had a personal butler,
hey, I'd actually say that if I had money, I might get a little dumber. I'm just saying, I could do some stupid stuff.
So he's just the DC version of Iron Man.
Yeah. You know, who has the better mind, Tony Stark or Bruce Wayne?
That's a great question.
That's a good question. I'm gonna go with Bruce Wayne.
Hey, what's with the constant regens? Like, there have been so many Batmans, there have been so many Spider-Mans.
Oh, we won't get into that.
We won't
get my blood pressure up.
We'll be here all night.
My favorite Batman is the original, and I'm associating that with the movie in the 80s with Michael Keaton.
You like the... Oh, we can't get into that right now. Okay, we'll circle back.
All right, let's
We'll circle back around, because...
Nerds.
Nerd talk will be happening later. No, but Josh.
Yes.
Who are you?
Okay. Hello, everybody. My name is Josh. Man, I'm just excited to be here. So we're talking about superheroes, and my favorite superhero always has been Superman, because, man, who wouldn't like to fly and just have superhuman strength? And so he's always been a favorite of mine. However, I don't really recall watching a lot of Superman in my day. I didn't own any really comic books. I was more of like an X-Men kind of guy, Marvel guy. But as far as anytime anyone ever asked me, hey, what's your favorite superhero? It was always Superman, the Man of Steel. And I started looking into his origin story for this episode. And wow. It opened a whole new door for me that I didn't really realize that was there. Because, the story goes, you know, Kal-El is the Superman, okay?
Ooh, he went into the original. Here we go!
So, from the planet Krypton, right?
Sorry, I fell asleep for a second.
No, it gets better.
From the planet Krypton, and this world is dying, and so they send the baby, Kal-El, on a spaceship. Out, you know, because they want to save their race, and so they send it, and it lands on Earth, and that's where we meet, you know, that's where the story kind of begins.
Yes.
With Superman on Earth. But it's just so crazy how I was reading this story and start to have this almost biblical imagery of
sending spirituality
with Superman.
It's there.
They sent their only son to the Earth, and I don't know, it was just a lot of mirror imagery there.
The gospel according to
Superman. So it just kind of like, whoa, I never noticed that before. It was kind of cool to look into that, but of course, you know, Jesus isn't.
I have a very deep spiritual question having to do with Superman. So the story that you just told us, the origin story, would that make Superman an illegal alien? Can we say that? Can we say that? This might get cut. Anyway.
Sure, yeah. So Chris is the dad of the group. Yeah.
My address is 54. No.
Which is hilarious because there's three dads, and yet somehow he out dads. I guess he's more experienced.
Yeah. This is the dad of dads.
You are the most experienced
dad. I guess we're all four dads, yeah.
Three dads and a baby. Did you guys ever see that movie? Three dads? Oh, this is where I show my age. Okay, that sucks. Okay, moving on. Like Eddie Murphy movie or what? Moving on. Too old. Before y'all's time. I get it.
You seen The Babysitter with Vin Diesel? Oh, my
goodness. That movie sucked. Anyway. Joe.
I kind of liked it.
Joe, who you be, man?
Man, my name is Joel Reeves. I don't even know how to start from that. I'm a
you're the man.
Business owner. I'm a father of two little boys that I love so much, and I have an amazing wife.
Oh, I should have said that in my...
I win.
Oh, by the way.
I win. So, my favorite superhero, I know he's trendy, but I'd have to say... Whenever I first got into comics, because I grew up sports, I grew up like, you know, Star Wars. I wasn't really into comics. So when this superhero got really like mainstream culture, that was when I first got into like the Marvel comics, kind of comic, you know, I liked Superman, liked Batman, but I'd say Iron Man. Hulk was the first superhero movie I saw, but Iron Man was the first one that I remember like watching in theaters and being like, oh my gosh, like this is amazing. The movie, the design, RDJ playing, just
crazy.
It all came together in this moment that I really think looking back was kind of the spark of Marvel resurgence with movies. And so I'd have to say Iron Man just because I was, it was like 2008, I think.
Yeah.
As I was in, you know, junior high, I was starting, you know, that was when I first started formulating an opinion and
just wait.
We've got more. It's gonna get worse. In case you guys can't tell at this point, I am the oldest one at the table.
How old are you?
I'm 29 years old. technical difficulties. Hey, I will rock with you in the sense that when Iron Man came out, it set a standard for superhero movies that we had never seen before. Iron Man was legit. Yeah, when that came out, I was like, okay.
Because it wasn't the first.
Okay. It wasn't the first superhero. But when it came out, even though it wasn't the first superhero movie, when it came out and the way that they did it and made it look, it was like, okay, we're going to another level with this. I like this.
It was the iPhone of movies.
Yeah. Again, Batman was the first. Come on.
We're not saying Iron Man was the first. We're saying
it's my favorite.
He's better.
Set a standard.
He's better.
We need to talk about the Michael Keaton Batman at some point, Josh. Because I don't know if we can be friends. I'm just
if you like that one.
Just kidding.
I did really love The Dark Knight and that whole series. It was good.
Yeah,
so. It was,
yeah.
Sorry, Michael Keaton.
We're also faith-based, so I don't condone any nighttime vigilantes.
We do not endorse
or cry. Yeah.
All right, Hondo, who you be?
That's me, Hondo. full name Alejandro Vale, but I will never go by that.
Only if you're in trouble.
Only if I'm in trouble. Yeah. So my mom, coming from a Hispanic background, if she called me by my full name and her maiden name, it was Raps.
Yeah.
Well, you were getting it.
It didn't really happen to me, though. It was my sister, usually, because I was the good kid. But it happened every once in a while.
Way to throw her under the bus. Continue.
Yeah. Love you, Sussie. Anyway, as I was saying, I, too, am married. Have a little six-month-old, James. And
I'm sorry, Val. I love you.
Too late.
We'll get back to me. Yeah. I have family too.
You have to wait for your chance. Anyway.
Yeah. Literally. Well, we will have an entire episode devoted to getting in a little deeper. But her mom's super awesome too. Kate, my wife. So the love of my life. So it's crazy.
Tell our audience what's most special.
What's most special about Kate?
About your son. I don't care about Kate. What's most special?
Her heart. I'll just throw it in there.
I love you, Kate. What's most special about your son? Tell him.
Golly.
Tell him. No, you know what I want to hear.
Tell him. Okay. He happens to share a birthday with this guy.
It's my birthday.
Yeah,
buddy.
Nice birthday, buddy.
It's my birthday, buddy.
Moving on.
Moving on. Anyway, yeah, my favorite superhero.
This won't make it in the final cut.
Favorite superhero is James. No, I'm kidding. He is a superhero though.
Yeah,
he rocks. So everybody else kind of nerded out about like,
of course,
like comics and stuff like that. Yeah. I never got into comics. I never really had that. What I did nerd out crazy with was Star Wars.
Okay.
But there's a little debate.
There's a nerd level there.
Yeah. But if we're looking superhero, I won't go Star Wars.
Yeah.
But I would say my favorite origin story, superhero origin story, was Captain America.
That's a good one, actually.
Mm-hmm. So I just resonated with him because I'm like scrawny and small. And so, you know, I wish I had a super serum.
I resonate with him too in the second phase when he becomes strong and powerful.
Mm. Yeah.
Again.
Okay.
I think
you're going anyway.
I thought you were saying you resonated him because he's really old in the future.
Oh, dang it. I forgot about that third act. Man, you suck. Anyway. This isn't about me. This is about Hondo right now.
Hey, you better
not. Your birthday.
Forgot about that old part. You resonated
second. Yeah.
Anyway, Captain America.
Yeah, so I see him all scrawny and I'm like, yeah, but he's got a big heart and I feel that. So
sweet.
But seeing how he has a super cool motorcycle, a shield, super strength, you know.
Yeah,
he just
doesn't cuss ever.
Doesn't cuss. Loves the Lord.
Language.
Come on.
You know. Yeah.
Loves the Lord.
Well, he does initially. I think he might have fallen off a little bit towards the end, but anyway, they
didn't know we were going to be talking about Captain America's faith. When did he become an agnostic?
I wouldn't go that far.
The comic books say they grow.
Well, in comic book issue 47, back on.
Yeah, I'll go there in Star Wars.
Sweet. I got you. I can go there with you in Star Wars.
Yeah, I can do a little Star Wars with you. Where you at, Josh?
Yep, I Star Wars.
Sweet. Nerds unite.
I Wikipedia'd, like, for fun.
I used to work out, and I would look up, they kind of retroactively when Disney bought them, but they had what's called Expanded Universe.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like books and comics and literal, like, different material that wasn't movies or TV shows.
Yeah.
And I used to watch videos. I'm going to nerd out. I don't care. It's judgment-free zone. I used to, like, work out, and I'd do, like, a walk or a jog or whatever, and I would watch these, like, hour-long videos going into these comics and explaining the story, referencing, like, the callbacks and other parts, you know, other stories and... Like, I literally, like, learned about things that, like, it was, like, layer upon layer, like, under what most people know. And I'm like, oh, that character I know because, you know, whatever. And my wife is like, shut up, honey. Like, stop. I need you to have friends, you know. So it was bad.
So you were kind of Big Bang Theory before Big Bang Theory was a thing. Do you watch Big Bang Theory?
No.
They're kind of more Star Trek-y.
I know enough to know that you referenced that.
Right?
A little bit both. James Earl Jones was in it.
They do both. Yeah.
James Earl Jones had a cameo.
R.I.P. James Earl Jones.
Sweet. Well, we could go on about this all day, guys, but let's kind of move on here. So the name of our podcast, YouTube, Brotherhood of Love, is still loading. Okay. So Hondo, can you explain to the viewers and listeners why we chose that as a name for our podcast?
Yeah, absolutely. So it'll come out of Philippians 1:6, and I'm reading from the NLT.
Okay.
And I'm certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns.
Amen.
Amen.
And then I'll read 7 and 8 too, and 9. I'll read the whole chapter. I'm kidding.
I'll stop there.
So it is right that I shall feel this way about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. Mm-hmm. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Jesus Christ. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. So the whole reason that we're going with still loading is this good work that the Lord is still loading in us.
Oh, come on.
And we're just all men that are trusting the process and what God is doing in our lives.
Yes.
And that we're not where we want to be, but we're so far away from where we have been.
Yeah. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
So yeah, the heart, the passion that we have for this podcast comes uh-huh. from our love to share what the Lord is doing in our lives, and that we will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. Yeah.
So. Well, and doesn't it, wouldn't you guys agree that when you hear that verse and you hear just Hondo explaining it, I feel like it takes the pressure off of us as believers, because I feel like as a believer, there could be this misconception, and sometimes the pressure comes from outside of Christianity, but that there's this misconception that the minute you become a Christian, you have to be perfect.
Yeah.
Mm. You no longer sin. You no longer mess up. You do everything right perfectly all the time. You pray for 17 hours a day. You're reading your Bible for 24/7. Yeah. If somebody cuts you off in traffic, you just go, God bless
pray
you.
Pray blessings.
You know, also like that. But when you see a verse like this, you get this understanding of, hey, man, we're still in process.
That's right.
I'm not always going to get it. As a believer, I'm still going to have my struggles.
Yeah.
I'm still going to mess up at times, but that's okay, because I serve a God who is very patient with me, mm-hmm. very gracious towards me, and I'm still in process.
Yeah.
But the guarantee is that we will come to that place of completion. We're just not there yet, you know?
Amen.
So I feel like, you know, if we're talking about like what that verse means for me personally, that's the biggest thing that comes to my mind, is that it takes the pressure off. I don't know. What do you guys think about that with the verse?
No, I totally agree. And it's almost like what you were talking about that expectation. I feel like we put that on ourselves too. And that we expect to be perfect and kind of become impatient with God whenever we're not like acting or doing the things that like we know he wants us to, or even like see his hand or see him working in our lives. And it's like, God, why aren't you doing this? Yeah. You know, like I'm committed, you know, but why aren't we here? And it's just trusting the process, like the 76ers with Joel Embiid.
Joel Embiid, trust the process. But it worked out.
Did it? Well, I was. That's where I was good. Going.
I don't know
that's
about the team.
I was going he's with good. That. It's like I can compare it to the 76ers, but that process hasn't really worked. But we trust the God whose process will always work.
Yeah,
that's right.
But
okay, so here's the thing with that, though. Okay. I guess maybe we need to figure out what did they mean by that.
Yeah,
talking about the 76ers.
Yeah.
When they said trust the process, are we talking about trust the process that leads to a championship, or are we just talking about trust the process of this particular player? Because remember,
right,
when they said trust the process, it was when he was battling injuries and he just wasn't getting out there. But they kept saying trust the process. So
I feel like it had...
Maybe it's both.
Yeah, it's championship both. Implications. Yeah, yeah. For anyway. Sure.
Sweet. I don't know. What do you guys think about with the Philippians 1:6? Any thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. I love this verse because it tells me that I still have a lot of growing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just, one of the things that just keeps resonating with me personally in my life is just, man, I've come a long way, right, in my journey with Christ. However, I have so much more to go and so much more to learn.
Yeah.
And it's just like, man, there's just this continuous unfolding of who he is, who the Lord is, who the God is, and who am I in all of this, and where do I belong? But man, it's just every day, it's just this new awakening, this new mercy, this new grace, this new, man, I don't know. I love this continuous transformation that is continuously unfolding.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it man, makes me optimistic about my future, that I won't ever come to a place that, one day I'll be done, right? But... It's just this, you know, hey, we're still going. We're still there. I have something to live for.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, and the thing is, because I do want you to respond to this too, but here's the other thing, if I can just throw this in for a second. We really have to understand that the walk of a believer comes down to three processes, okay? So I'm gonna throw some quick theological terms at you, but the process is this, is that first you have justification. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what justification says is that's when you accept Christ, Holy Spirit's working inside of you, and you are now justified before the Father, meaning that your sins will no longer condemn you to hell because you've accepted Christ. You realize your need for a Savior. So now you are justified. That happens at the moment you say yes to Jesus.
Amen.
But then there's this second process, which is sanctification. That's the process we're in right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're in sanctification. And the thing about sanctification is, It means set apart. It means that we're now set apart from the world, and we're going to come back to that in a minute. But we're set apart from the world, and we are now using our bodies, using our lives to live for the Lord. But that is a process, sanctification. But then you have a third process, glorification. Glorification is the other side of this. Glorification is what happens when this life is over mm-hmm. and we're now with the Lord in glory. So, no, we're not perfect. That's yet,
right. Yeah.
But that's a coming. Yeah. We will be perfect someday because of that glorification process. And so we just have to recognize those stages and how it works. One last thing that I'll say, and then I'll have Joel go respond to it. And I wish I could remember who we can fact check this later. But there was this this one guy. The quote basically, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but the quote basically goes something like this, and we can look it up later. The saving of a soul is the miracle of the moment. Mm. But the task of a saint is the miracle of a lifetime. Amen. Okay. So again, that understanding of it's going to be your whole life working this thing.
Come on.
So just think that's important to point out. Joe, what do you think about the verse?
To be honest, the first thing that sticks out is confident. We've been talking a lot about, like, you're saying how we're not perfect. We're not where we are, but we have the idea of where we want to be. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, I believe that the Holy Spirit instills confidence in us to be able to step into situations. Yeah. And that's one of the seasons I'm walking through in life is for a long time, I thought bowing low enough was a way for God to use me. But it turns out I was bowing so low that I wasn't able to see what he had for me. Yeah. And so I lost the ability to be confident, and it was like, dang. I started to look up, and I was like, well, is this, you want me to do this or that or this and that? And that feels like this is the first season I'm in where God's like, you know, it's right.
Yeah.
Be confident, start moving. And then I think of also, you know, carry it, you know, he began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion.
Yeah.
He didn't start with me. I'm carrying on a legacy of generations of men and women that have been absolute leaders and pioneers and have been revolutionary in their own way. I mean, I think of, you know, each generation has its own curses and its own ways that it breaks free. And there's stuff that even, you know, in my generation we're going through, and I'm sure yours and, you know, the future ones will.
Yeah.
I get to share in this work with not just the other men and women of earth, but also the Father and and God and the Holy Spirit. So if I'm instilled this job of being a father and a husband and a leader and all this stuff, like, man, I've got to be confident, because if you're not confident as a leader, and so to me, that's what I think of as confidence, and I'm carrying on this legacy, and I get to share with God and his role of father and all these things. That's just, I could talk for, I think we make this just as one piece of whole, you know, so cool. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And I mean, you know, keeping that in the forefront of our minds, again, now thinking about the purpose of this podcast, and what we're doing here, keeping that understanding in the forefront of our minds, it brings us to this realization of the purpose behind this, which is to navigate through the cultures and realities of life with God's word as our GPS. I think all of us sitting here know this, the culture that we live in. And, you know, if this ever becomes something that's listened to by people outside of America, I'm specifically talking about American culture, but I'm sure it applies to other cultures too. But just talking about American culture, it has become so topsy-turvy, upside down, that you could easily lose your footing and find yourself in a tailspin trying to figure out, like, what's even right anymore? Mm. What's even true anymore? And so since the culture and the realities of life are just so out of whack, more than they've ever been, now more than ever, we need God's word, because God's word is going to be that GPS that helps us navigate through all of this stuff. And so that's what we're going to do with this podcast. We're going to be talking about some things that are going on in society, some things that are going on in cultures. And we need to begin to look at those things from a biblical perspective. Mm-hmm. It's so important. We need to have a biblical worldview when we're approaching topics like who the Antichrist is, or conspiracy theories, or politics, or whatever the case may be. We want to be a, first of all, we're not going to be afraid to talk about these things.
Yeah.
Maybe it's taboo for other Christians, I'm not calling out anybody, but I'm just saying maybe some Christians are like, hey, we just need to just stay in the Bible. I don't even want to talk about all that weird stuff. No, it's in our world. Let's talk about it. Yeah. And let's bring scripture to it and say, this is what scripture has to say about this. And so we're not going to shy away from those things because we recognize God's word as our GPS. So
yeah.
We got a little serious for a moment, but I want to go back to something, okay, in this intro.
It better not be Batman.
No, it's not Batman. Okay, all right, good. But I can't go there. I can't go there. But, man, don't make me nerd out on that stuff. But I want to go back to something. YouTube originally started as a dating site. Anybody got any thoughts on that? Because that's kind of funny to me. That's kind of hilarious to me.
You're gonna date yourself because whenever I first time I remember YouTube, it was just a video sharing platform. I mean, I it was to me, it didn't really. I wasn't like aware of platforms like that. So I remember it just became like a you go on YouTube to watch funny things or if I have a project I used to do video projects for school, I put on YouTube and send the link to my teacher. It was like. Well, it's just a video sharing platform. When I remember in school,
what was the first video you remember on YouTube?
Oh my gosh!
That you remember like watching?
Oh my gosh! Like, that's a first question. I don't know if I can do first. I can do early.
Okay.
I remember Charlie and the Unicorn.
Was that the one?
The
Sean the non-believer.
Yeah, that one.
Charlie.
I'm climbing up the Magic Mountain, whatever.
Do you know what he's talking about?
I am asking the question, and I'm
I just joined Chris's camp. Yeah.
Oh, man. It was nice knowing you.
We might need to talk about this a little bit with our viewers. I may be the oldest one at the table, but for 20-plus years, I was a youth pastor. And so there's some remnants of of immaturity that still abound within this.
You were 22 for 20 years.
This decaying body. Yeah. So I do know about Charlie. Shun the non-believer.
Yeah. So stuff like that. I remember Vine. I remember Vine real well.
Vine.
You know.
Vine was big time.
Yeah. MySpace. Yep. I had one.
Ooh, Vine. Ooh,
yes.
Do it for the Vine.
Yeah.
Dang. Yeah, yeah. That's cool. Dude,
TikTok wants to be Vine, honestly.
Oh, they do.
You just want to be.
The TikTok people will come after you.
Come after me. I don't care.
Do it.
This might be Joel. I don't know how to work it anyway, so. I've been locked out for months.
Oh, well.
This might be Joel's last broadcast. He's going to get sniped. Yeah. Sniped as he leaves today. Who shot him?
No. First video you remember, Josh.
Gosh. Don't get me started on this stuff because, I grew up on MTV. That's where I got my videos. Okay. Headbangers Ball, man.
Yeah.
Woo! Hey, this actually might
Hit My Ride. Was that an MTV show?
Yeah. This actually might be a good time to kind of slip this in really quick. One of the things that I love about this collaboration that we're doing is the fact that we have multiple generations represented at this table. And I think that's going to be really cool, especially when it comes to approaching certain topics that we can hear from those generations, And we really want to do with this platform is we want to reach out to multiple generations too. That's our agenda with that. And so all of my Gen Xers, that's me. I'm representing the Gen X crew. So like I said, the old head here at the table. We got Gen X here. We got Millennial here. That's Josh. That's where Josh is. He's the Millennial. Both of them.
Hate that term.
I'm like in between millennial and whatever's.
Yeah. Z. That's me. Yeah.
You're undecided. I'm an independent.
I'm confused.
Definitely claim.
I'm so confused.
Definitely claim millennial. If you're on the fringe.
And then we got the young pup right here. Representing the Gen Z.
Gen Z.
Representing the Gen Z.
I'm not the youngest, though.
Okay.
There is Gen Alpha now.
Oh. That's true. But I'm saying youngest at the table.
Yeah,
he's like the older of the Gen Z.
Hey, so
is
this beef between millennials and Gen Z, or I guess now Gen Z and Gen Alpha? Is that a real thing? Is there a beef?
I don't know about beef. I think
we hate each other.
I think what's happened.
Yeah. So the millennials got all weird.
The millennials? Wow! Right off the bat,
you millennials.
Let me tell you something.
What happened with the millennials?
The millennials got all weird with the Gen Zers because of the lingo that we would use, right? Yeah, yeah. But now it's the same way with the Zers and the Alphas, because Alpha's language is like, whoa. All that kind of stuff. I'm like, but what's super funny is that,
like, scatting.
Like, as Gen Z, we had weird language too, so we can understand it a bit more, you know?
Okay.
Super immature, will not ever claim it.
Wow.
As my language, but it is a Gen Alpha language.
Okay, this is good for me to know, because as a father,
yes,
who is a Gen Xer, I have a Gen Z and I have a Gen Alpha in the same family. Yeah. So I'm gonna be referring to you a lot when it comes to these things. Yeah. I think it's gonna be good stuff.
What does that mean, Hondo? What's that word mean?
You know what? What did you just say to me? Get Hondo on speed. Yeah. Help me out here.
He also fixed my Wi-Fi.
dang, here we go. I'm not a boomer.
Well,
I have a story about that later.
Oh, gosh. Anyway, okay. This is probably a good time to get back to trusting God with our lives. So the attention gets off of me for a second. You know, one thing I also wanted to say that I wanted us to talk about, too, is this understanding of being in the world, but not of the world. And the reason why I say that is because we do have well-meaning brothers and sisters in Christ that feel that it's better for them to just, in order to stay in this place of being set apart, of being holy, of being in that process that we're talking about in Philippians 1:6, that they feel it's better to just completely remove themselves from the world, okay? So, and I do say this sincerely. I know we were making jokes about this earlier, but I do say this sincerely because I've looked into some of the doctrine of the Amish community and some of the doctrine of the Mennonite community, and they're not that far off from what we believe. Mm-hmm. So if they've truly accepted Jesus Christ, then yes, I consider them brothers and sisters in Christ. However, I do think they're missing it when they feel like they need to completely just isolate themselves from the world. I wanted to share this definition, guys. It's called monasticism, which is where I think the Amish and Mennonite community kind of fall in some respects. And the definition here is, it is a way of living that's religious, isolated from people, and self-discipline. In many religions, monks and nuns practice monasticism. So you even see that within the Catholic Church too. This is what I want to say about it, and I kind of want us to kind of zero in on it or talk about it a little bit. I understand the motivation. Okay, so I'm not going to sit here and completely slam, because I understand the motivation. The world is jacked up. The world is messed up.
That's right.
So if you got somebody saying, man, I just want to live for God. Mm-hmm. I just want to live the purest life possible for the Lord. Dude, I get that motivation. You know, there have been times that when I look at some of these temptations that I've struggled with, that even I've had thoughts of, man, if I just need to just, I wish I could just leave this world and things would be so much better. But in practice, Why is that a problem? Why is that not okay to just completely isolate yourself from the world as a believer?
Well, I think what we're talking about here is extremes.
Yeah.
I look at on the list here, I look at monks and nuns. That seems a little extreme to go into that. But what's speaking to me most right now is just doing this complete removal from the rest of society and this sort of isolation, almost put themselves in their own little box, their own little prison, if you will.
Yeah.
What they're doing is, and they don't even know it, is putting chains around themselves by doing this. God, that's not the heart of the Father.
Yeah.
The heart of the Father is for us to be free.
Mm-hmm.
And free, free, free indeed, right? And so when we get into this, that doesn't sound free to me, man.
Yeah. You know, one thing, I'll let you go, but I was going to say, one thing that's really interesting is, you know, again, me being a Gen Xer, I am literally positioned in between generations is where I'm at right now. There's a couple of generations ahead of me, and there's a couple of generations on the other side of me. And so being kind of in the middle of the older guy, like, I'm not old enough to be a senior yet, you know, but I'm not, you know, I'm not, guys. Don't do it.
He's getting
I'm
there. Not. He's getting there.
Don't listen to them, guys. I'm young. I'm good. I'm fine. Just give me my pills and I'll go sit down and have some warm milk.
I heard somebody say there's an age that you never sprint again in your life.
Oh, I've already reached that age. Yeah, I don't do sprinting no more. Okay. I do nice little trots on the treadmill. That's where I'm at. But no. What I'm saying is that the reason why I'm bringing this up is because in the conversations that I'll have with the true boomers, which is not me, the true boomers, in the conversations I have with these older men, the attitude is, oh, I completely stay away from social media. It's evil, it's demonic, it's all of these things. And the reality is that social media is amoral. Social media in and of itself has no morality. Social media in and of itself is not good or bad. It's how it's being used that's going to determine if it's good or bad or not. Good or bad or not. It's the same thing that you would say about a gun. Like when I was a youth pastor, I used to always tell the students, are guns good or bad? You know, raise your hand if you think guns are evil. Raise your hand if you think guns are good. And hands go up evil. Hands go up, they're good. Mm-hmm. And my response would always be the same. Guns are not good or evil. Guns are amoral. They have no morality. The same gun that's in the hand of a criminal robbing somebody is the same gun that could be put in the hands of a police officer to protect someone. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's the same thing with social media. And so when people say things like that, that is actually a monastic kind of attitude.
Yeah.
And just stay away from the social media stuff. Because, hey, instead of constantly complaining about all of the crap that's on social media, why don't we redeem it? Why don't we take social media and use it to get the gospel out? That's where a lot of people are at anyway. Amen. So let's use it to our advantage instead of complaining about it and staying away from it. I don't know. I just was thinking about that as we're having this discussion about people that choose to isolate themselves from the world.
Yeah.
Amen.
Like our goal is to imitate Christ in this life. Hallelujah. And so if you look at it though, like Christ does isolate himself to pray and be with the Father, you know? Mm-hmm. So there's certain things about this lifestyle that I feel believers should be taking away. Sure. Right. And it's that commitment to discipline. Because without that discipline, like then we are swayed. We see everything as evil that really is a moral type of thing. So there's certain parts of it that we should really be striving for in our walk. But like what Josh was saying, it's the extreme part of it that that makes it wrong.
To completely separate yourself and not want to do anything.
Yeah. What were you gonna say? I kept thinking of Moses. Moses, it would say, you know, he'd be in this season or whatever, and it'd say he went out in the desert. Mm-hmm. And he went to worship. He went to, you know, fast for 40 days or whatever. And to me, it's like kind of exactly along the lines of Hondo and Josh of like, yeah, there are some things that are good. It's you take this thing and you kind of it's like a little bit of like everything everyone's saying. It's okay, removing it could be good, yes. Mm-hmm. And there's some people who do need to remove themselves. But at the same time, removing yourself also removes a warrior, a potential fight, you know, a potential light in an area that, like, you know, like you said, social media, you know, for a long time I wanted to remove myself. Then I realized if I choose on Facebook to skip over the stuff that's inappropriate and seek out the Christian stuff, it only took about a day and a half until it was only Christian content. When you focus on and make it intentional about, I want to listen to these guys that are preaching. I want to listen to these, you know, ladies that are giving, you know, Bible studies, whatever, speaking life and positivity. It really only took, it was like one, literally the next day, it was about half and half. The next day it was almost entirely Christian content. Nothing else other than just, I'm going to find one or two people and watch them preach online. And that was it.
Well, and here's the other thing too. You also got to think about it in terms of the calling that God has put on us to share the gospel. Okay. If I'm in my isolated little Christian bubble or Christian community and I never come outside of that, then when is there ever going to be an opportunity to reach out to the lost? You know?
And that completely aligns with the word of God in Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, in this next part what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Yeah. And when we do that, we're partnering with God and what he wants us to do. Mm-hmm. I want to partner with him. I don't want to be apart from him. So that, let's partner up. Let's do this thing.
Well, and this is what I love too. You know, you have in John 17, verse 15, where it says this, and to preface what's going on here, this is Jesus praying to the Father on behalf of the disciples. God. He's praying for the disciples. So he's talking to the Father about the disciples because Jesus is about to move into that time that's ultimately going to lead to him dying on the cross, right? And so as he's doing this prayer, this is one of the things that he says about the disciples to the Father. He says, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world,
Amen.
But that you keep them safe from the evil one.
Amen.
Right? So this is not about being away from the world. And let me read a little bit further. It says, again, this is Jesus talking. He says, they do not belong to the world, mm-hmm. just as I do not belong to the world. Set them apart in what? In truth.
Yeah.
So here's the thing is like, we need to be in the world as believers, mm-hmm. yeah. but as we're in the world, we need to be praying for God's protection to be upon us. And we need to be praying that as we're in the world, that we are always set apart unto truth. Because there's a lot of false. There's a lot of false narratives that are out there. A lot of things that are being said that just aren't true. And so Jesus praying to the Father says, hey, for my disciples, and a disciple is someone who is not just accepting Christ, but someone who is actively wanting to live for Christ. You know, a pupil, a student, wants to learn, wants to be like the master, wants to be like the teacher. If that's what we're called to be, and we are, then that prayer that God is praying on behalf of the 12 disciples also applies to us.
Yeah,
where he's saying, I don't want you guys to be out of the world. Be in the world. You know, one example that I heard that I've always loved is simply this. When you look at the purpose of a ship, the purpose of a ship or a boat is to sail on top of the water. And there's nothing wrong with that. The problem is when the water gets in the boat. When the water gets in the boat's going to sink. Be in the world, but not of it. We need to be sailing in this world. Just don't let the world get in you. Because if it starts to get in you, you most likely will
not
sink.
Just that. What good is a boat that's still on the dock?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's got to be on the sea.
Come on.
So, it's so true. And so
to fulfill its ultimate purpose.
Come on. It's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. I think it's good. I think we got time to do this one last thing. And it goes back to God's word, you know, which is always going to be one of my favorite subjects to talk about is God's word. But we had said in the beginning that we want to navigate through the realities of life and navigate through the cultures through the culture with God's word. God's word is our GPS. And here's the thing: if that's true, and we all believe this is true, then it comes to this understanding of asking the question: why is God's word important now more than it has ever been? Because some people will tell you that the Bible is an outdated book. You know, been there, done that. You know, we've progressed so far past anything that the Bible is just an archaic, out of date book. Why are you still reading it, following it, all those things? But what would you guys say to that? Why is the Bible important now more than it's ever been? You know?
Go for it.
Yeah. I think it's more important now because we're more lost than we've ever been. Honestly.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think our culture has willfully and in an aware way turned away from God. Whether it's believers that are, you know, trying to separate us from the word, mm-hmm. or honestly, my opinion, it's believers being okay with it.
Yeah.
That we say, you know what? Yeah, we are, you know, and we are a free country, but they're saying they're choosing to allow people to have more freedom, but in return they're backing off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so they're choosing not to be confident and walk in what we're called to do, which is, I mean, I don't think we're supposed to be crazy street preachers, but at the same time, if we're at the grocery store and you see someone, find a way to mention the gospel. If you're at work on your lunch break, find a way to, hey man, we go to church, come to church with me, whatever. And but we're actively backing off in a way that we're becoming more unaware, becoming more quiet. We're not stepping up into these roles. And it's like, that bleeds into our life as a father and all these other areas that it's like, we go, I haven't been, I'm fine with going to church maybe once a week. Sometimes we miss a week or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's it. Church is Sunday morning for an hour, sometimes an hour and 10 minutes. If it goes past that, I'm annoyed because I've got to go watch the games or whatever.
Yeah.
I say with a jersey on.
You're okay.
Check this out. I have a question for you guys. Okay. Uh-huh. So I talk to a lot of people that aren't where I'm at, and they say, well, if I'm living right, if my moral standing is right, doing the right thing, I'm going to work and I'm being a productive member of society, why do I need the Bible?
So here's the thing. My immediate response to that is you've made your life more about moral humanism than a relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
It's this attitude of, if I can just make it happen and just pull myself up by my own bootstraps, then what do I need this whole Bible thing for? Mm-hmm. Hey, look, the Bible is not just a book of nice moral teachings to help you live a better life.
That's right.
The Bible is God's word. The Bible is supposed to bring us into a greater relationship with the one who saved our souls.
Amen.
So whenever somebody is having that attitude, they're obviously looking at the Bible through a particular lens, which is a self-help book. And I hate to say this, there's a lot of Christians that are going to church that's how they see the Bible. It's just a nice little self-help book. It is way more than that. Man. It is way more than that, than a self-help book. So
I always like to invite people to come to church with me. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, I'm not religious.
Yeah.
Me neither.
Honestly.
I don't like to use that hard R. Religion.
Yeah.
It's all about relationship. And that's what he wants. That's what I want. And let's do this.
And importance of that. Yeah. I talked about this last night. I know you had something to say, but I talked a little bit about this last night at our Bible study at church. But and shout out, honestly, to Ruslan, because this is where I found this. So this wasn't new to me, that I give the credit to an episode of Ruslan's YouTube channel that I saw, where he was talking about this Bishop Mari Mari, I believe is his name. He's a bishop. Maybe that's not the official title. Forgive me if I'm not saying the right thing. But he's in Australia, and this dude is kind of fire. Like, I would encourage you to check him out.
Oh yeah, he's good.
He's something else. He's different, but he's on top of it when it comes to certain things. Anyway, I don't know the full scope of his theology, so I'm not just gonna sit out there and be like, listen to everything. Just listen with caution. Yeah. But he did bring this up that I never forgot, that I think plays into what we're talking about. He talked about, in a society, there's usually three types of laws that are at play with a society that people will take on. They're either a theonomous culture, a heteronomous culture, or an autonomous culture, right? A theonomous culture is a culture that has decided our laws and standards will be governed by God. God is the one that makes the rules. God is the one that sets the standards. So he's the one that we're going to follow. A heteronomous culture says, we're going to put certain people in a leadership position, and whatever laws they come up with, those are the laws that we're going to live by. So a democracy, if you will. That's us here in America, a heteronomous culture. An autonomous culture is the type of culture that says, we're going to live by rules that we set for ourselves. It's all about us, right? And so this is what I had said last night. America, in the beginning, started off as a theonomous culture, where we're going to make our rules and laws based off of scripture, based off of what the Bible says.
In God we trust.
In God we trust. They slowly moved into a heteronomous culture where it was like, we're going to trust the government and whatever they said. They started moving slowly away from God. We're going to set our own laws apart from what the Bible says, and we're just going to trust the government. Now today, we live in a society that says, I don't trust God. I don't trust the government. The only person I can trust is myself.
Man.
And so now we're in this autonomous culture. And because we're in this autonomous culture, people, when you even bring or mention the Bible to them,
you know, the Bible may have some good things here and there, but I'm not going to follow it completely because I can't trust the Bible completely. I can only trust myself. Mm. And we all know sitting here, that's probably the most dangerous thing that you can do is trust yourself. Right. You know?
Yeah.
What does it say in James? It says that we can deceive ourselves. Mm. I always thought that that was like a crazy statement in scripture that it says that like, how do you deceive yourself? Like, you're with you all the time. Like, I can understand when it comes to deceiving someone else because they don't know my motives. They don't know what's going on. So I could lie to them because they don't really know what's going on inside of me. But you're telling me, James, that I have the ability to deceive myself? What does that even mean? It simply means this. You don't know you as well as you think you do. Mm-hmm. And because you don't know you as well as you think you do, if you're going to sit here and say, the only person I can trust is myself, good luck with that one. That's a scary foundation that you're building your life on.
Mm.
Because our self is probably one of the most... What does it say in Ezekiel? That the heart is corrupt and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Talking about your heart, my heart, right? And we all totally get that. But yeah, I just think that that's kind of what's going on here when we're talking about people that don't even see the value in God's word is because very autonomous. It's all about self. That's the only person that I can trust, you know? And so anyway, yeah. You want to throw that in? Yeah.
Yeah. I think the reason why the Bible is so important now, kind of to contrast what Joel was saying, I feel like the Bible is so oversaturated, or Christianity is so oversaturated in our culture here in America, mm-hmm. to where it's like you have these passive Christians that know of God, know of Jesus, know of the Bible and all this kind of stuff, and have all these thoughts and ideas about who he is and what the word is all about, you know? But it's like if we're not actually going into the word of God to find out what it is that God is actually saying to us, then we're going to be swayed by whatever idea, whatever it is that other people are saying, just for the sake that they make it sound good, you know? Yeah. So the importance of the Bible is that we kind of need it because we hear a bunch of different things about it now.
Yeah.
Especially with social media, you got AI now, like the implications that can bring. But if we don't open up our paper copy book, you know, like there's an importance to the physical copy of our Bibles.
You sound like a boomer when you say that.
Hey, raised right.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen, brother.
Need the good book. What does the good book say? Yeah, it's true though.
But
it's really true. One of my favorite passages of scripture has always been 2 Timothy 3:16-17, mm-hmm. when it says that all scripture is inspired by God, or God breathed, and it's useful. I love that. The Bible is not useless. It says that God's word is useful. Useful for what? For teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness.
That's right.
We need that because we live in a world where there's a lot of unrighteousness.
Yeah.
Or a lot of immorality, or a lot of wickedness. And so I need the Bible because it trains me to live in righteousness so that the man or woman of God can be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
For our listeners that don't know too much about righteousness, can we explain what that is?
Simply put, when we say righteousness, living right. Living the right way. That's what it is. Like, it just simply comes down to that. Living the right way. Because I could see where someone could hear righteousness and they're like, I don't even understand what that means. Yes, you do. It means to just do it the right way. We live in a society today where pragmatism reigns supreme. Pragmatism is the idea or the thought of, if it works, just keep doing it. Regardless of if it's right, regardless of if it's morally upstanding or morally okay, I don't care about morality. I don't care if it's bad or good. Does it work? If it works, let's just keep doing that. Pragmatism is a very dangerous way of thinking because the mindset behind it is always going to be, as long as it's working, Why are we complaining about cutting corners? Yeah. Why are we complaining about if it's morally right or not? It works. So if it works, let's just keep doing it. And so ethics and morality goes out the window, you know? Just because something works doesn't mean that it's good.
So I always like to think of righteousness to be in right standing with God.
Oh yeah, yeah, is that too?
Because I can create my own sort of moral standing of, well, I feel like I'm doing the right thing, so I must be in righteousness,
right standing with God. Yeah,
maybe your own self righteousness, right? But we're talking about God's
righteousness. Come on, that's right. True.
There is that too.
Well, the nice thing about scripture is it creates kind of a baseline across cultures and governments.
Yeah.
So it's no matter what your government, no matter what anything else is, it's historically and socially agreed upon that the Bible is accurate, at least historically. Therefore, logically, you can think that the spiritual side is also accurate. And so I think there's enough there that it's like, no matter where you are, if you go to the scripture, it's a fantastic starting point. Yeah. When you dive into the word, it teaches you how to connect with God, how to love Jesus, how to treat your friends, your family, all these things that from there, it's this really good foundation.
Yeah.
And from there, you can build and walk further in your spiritual life and continue to move. Obviously, there's other things around it, like your personal relationship with the Holy Spirit and Christ. Yeah. But to me, it's such a wonderful starting point. I was a preacher's kid, grew up around religion. It wasn't until I literally sat down and read through the Bible entirely that I really started to fall in love and go, man, like God's not just this super angry person that like is looking over me going, you mess up, you fool, whatever. Mm-hmm. He loves you. He's there with you. He's next to you. And you don't learn that and you won't know that unless you have, you know, even if you have a great teacher, you won't learn that fully until you dive in the scripture, you read for yourself, and then you take it to God and see what he can do through you.
Well, let's go ahead and close up this episode with this last verse, Hebrews 4:12. This is where we'll close it up. I'm reading from the NET, the New English translation. It says, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing even to the point of dividing soul from spirit and joints from marrow. It is able to judge the desires and thoughts of the heart."
Amen.
See next week. Just to blow our minds even more, I love this verse and the verse that comes right before it.
Yeah, yeah.
So with this in mind, talking about the word of God, verse 11 says, "So let us do our best to enter that rest, God's rest.
Yeah.
But if we disobey God as the people of Israel did, we will fall." So it's this idea that you want the innermost thoughts and desires to be exposed. Mm-hmm. You want what's really best for you. Yeah. The only way you can get that is if you enter God's rest. Amen. That's where it's found.
That's good stuff. All right, guys.
Hallelujah.
That's a wrap.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you.